Shalom. Shabbat shalom, everyone.
Shabbat shalom.
And welcome to Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation in Bristol, Virginia. And we're going to start with worship, a little worship the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right. We're going to welcome the Shabbat. And we've got some smiling faces out there. We're ready to go. Hallelujah. All right. And we come into your presence and to the presence of the congregation to bless him together. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu et derech hayeshua b'mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua.
Lord, my Maker, and as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord,
be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Okay. We're going to do the Vishamru on page 45 in your Siddur. And if you can watch it on the screen due to the miracle of technology. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la-sod et ha-shabbat le-dorotam berit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la-sod et ha-shabbat le-dorotam berit olam. Bnei uvenei, bnei Yisrael, bnei Yisrael, odhi liolam. Veshamru, bnei Yisrael, et ha-shabbat, lasod et ha-shabbat, ledorotam berit olam. Yisheshet yamim, asa Adonai, Shraim v'yet haaretz v'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sot et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. V'yom ha-shvi shabbat v'inafash, shabbat v'inafash, shabbat v'inafash v'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout the generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
There's Wendell in his handsome blue shirt. I like that. I bought one of those blue shirts this the same color this summer. I didn't keep it because I had too many. I didn't want to spend too much money on my shirts, so I took the blue one back. But you kept yours. Now I should have bought it. I should have kept it because if I kept it, me and Wendell would look like twins. You know, if that's possible. Now he looks handsome, doesn't he?
Thank you.
Diane's got her matching blue scarf.
Pray for Jerusalem.
Pray for the rabbi.
Pray there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them. Prosper them that love. Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem that there'll be peace no more. But God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city of our God, we pray for Jerusalem. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you. Shalom Aleichem.
Oops, sorry. Did it again. Let's pray. Hey, anybody, any news on the hurricane? I didn't get a chance to look at the news this morning. Anybody watch the news? Anybody see? What's it, flooding in Houston? Anything else? But how did the coast do in the daylight? Did they, anybody see? Okay, well, let's just, we'll pray for the folks down there. And we'll pray for Jerusalem. Abba, Avinu, Malkenu, Avinu, Shabba, Shemayim, our Father that who art in heaven, we just pray for the people in Texas and Louisiana, and particularly in Texas, Lord, in the Corpus Christi area around there, and Houston and Galveston, Lord, we just pray that as the sun rose this morning, or I don't even think the sun rose, I think it's still raining there, but as the light came this morning, Lord, that that people were safe, and that that the damage wasn't as bad as it could be, Lord. I pray for people for their own personal lives, Lord. I know if we put ourselves in their shoes, and if our homes were flooded, or our businesses were flooded, or our churches or our synagogues, how we'd feel and how difficult it would be for us. So, Lord, I pray for those people, for their cares and their worries and their struggles, and losing touch with their loved ones, people who don't have food, people who don't have transportation or even communication, that you help them. Lord, we pray for help and for rescue and for safety and for sustenance. We pray, Lord, if they don't have air conditioning, Lord, all these things that they need, clothing, shelter, that you would just send the help, Lord, that they need. And we pray for the victims of this storm, Lord. And I was mindful of the post on one of the social media that said it's not no coincidence that the storm hit Corpus Christi, the body of Messiah, and because judgment begins with the house of God. Amen. And so, Lord, have mercy on us. And we pray, Lord, for the peace of Jerusalem. Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper who love thee, Lord. We pray for them, Lord. We pray for that the blinders are removed from their eyes, Lord, that they would see their Messiah, as many are coming to see their Messiah, that they would come to know you and love you. I thank you, Lord, that you're knitting Don and I into the land with people. Amen. You're knitting us into the land. And if you knit us, that means you'll knit the rest of us.
Praise God.
And that was the message of Roy and Mary Kendall, is that you, say me.
Me.
I can be. Knit
into the land.
Like Roy and Mary Kendall. It can happen to me. Thank you, Lord. And we pray, Lord, for the Messianic community here, that you would give them great wisdom. Joel Chernoff and the leaders, the executive committee, the IMCS steering committee, the UMJC leaders, that you would make them bold. I appreciate the teachings of Dan Juster speaking out boldly for truth on Facebook, and speaking out wisely, Your word says, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And we can't look at what's going on around us and not speak out, because silence is complicity. And that's what the Nazis did. The Christians, the church in Nazi Germany stood by and watched while their Jewish neighbors were carried off to the ovens and the gas chambers. And if we don't speak up, we have been called for such a time as this, then salvation for the Jews will come from somewhere else. So, friends, speak up against tyranny. Speak up against depression. Speak up against your rights being taken. They're banning Second Amendment rights in Oregon illegally. They they arrested the sheriff in Arizona, who was just trying to follow the border laws, the immigration laws. They arrested him and prosecuted him, and were going to throw him in jail. And the president pardoned him. God bless our president, Lord.
Hallelujah.
May you give him strength.
Yes.
May he not waver in his commitment to do the things he said he was going to do. Lord, provide that he was going to, promises that he made. Also, Lord, I pray that the globalist influences in this world don't affect him as it appears. It's kind of concerning me that's happening, that they're getting to him. We pray for his strength and his resolve to stand as a patriot, as a nationalist, Lord, and keep America a sovereign nation. That we're not part of the United Nations, a globalist organization with centralized power in Belgium. We're not going to let Belgium tell us what to do. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Strengthen our president. Lord, we pray for the rabbis today. I pray, you know, I was talking to a leader of our conference of rabbis yesterday, and he says many rabbis are getting old and sick, and they got saved in the early 70s and late 60s, and they didn't plan for retirement, and they need rabbis to take over, and there are none. There's nobody trained up. There's nobody to take over for them, and they didn't. Many of them didn't plan for their retirements. So, Lord, I just pray, you know the problem, you know the situation. forgive us for not establishing a seminary. Forgive us for not investing as a movement and preparing for this day, thinking that these rabbis thinking they were all going to be eternally young and not preparing for their retirements, and not being able to afford to hire the few rabbis that are possibly able to take over for them, or they're going through their own tribulation. Help us. Have mercy on this movement, Lord, in the name of Yeshua, because this movement is the missing key to revival, to world revival, together with the church. And we just pray. And Lord, I want to lift up my mama. And I pray, Lord, that you give her strength. Take this fluid off of her lungs. Help her as she's in hospice, and give her strength, and add days to her life, Lord. I thank you for the many years. Your word says we're given 70 years, 80 if we're strong. You've given her 91. I'm grateful for every one of those years. Now we pray for Don's father, Lord, as he turns 80 this week. We just thank you for Jim and that he's made it this far. Pray that you give him another a good long life. I won't put a number on it, but you give him a good long life, at least as long as his mom. We ask in the name of Yeshua, the name of Yeshua. Bless our service, Lord. Bless each one here. Have your way. Forgive our transgressions, Lord. Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In Yeshua's name, amen. Oh, did I pray for everything? Did I miss anything? We'll have more prayer later on. Okay, Anthony, you're up, big guy. He dozed off.
Now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been in his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Amen. Welcome, folks online. God bless you. If you're watching today, please let us know just on Facebook. If you saw the post that we're broadcasting live, just go to Facebook and say hello. We'd like to know you're there, and it just helps us to know that we're reaching people. If there's a problem, call Carol, and or just go on Facebook and say there's a problem. I'm not getting if there's a problem, you couldn't go on Facebook because you wouldn't know. I'm telling you this. So let's play the song. Avinu.
stand for the Shema.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto, Leolam Vaed, V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, בכל לבבך ובכל נפשך ובכל מאודך והיו הדברים האלה אשר אנוכי מצווך היום על לבבך בשנתם לבניך ודיברת בם בשבתך בביתך ובלכתך בדרך ובשכבך בקומך וקשרתם להיות על ידך והיו לתוספות בין עיניך וכתבתם על מזוזות ביתך ובשעריך.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. Let there be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen. Well, I'd like to ask Greg and Isaac to carry the Torah, and I'm going to ask Anthony if he would open the ark for us today. That is Ein Kamocha Ba'elim Adonai Ve'ein Kemasecha Machrutcha Machrut Kol Olamim U'Memsheltecha B'chol Dor V'Dor Adonai Melech Adonai Malach Adonai Imloch Ni'olam Va'ed Adonai Oz Ni'amo Yitain Adonai Yivarech Et Amo Ba'Shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord.
And there is nothing like your works.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom.
And your dominion is throughout all generations.
The Lord reigns. The Lord has reigned.
The Lord will
reign forever and ever.
The Lord
will give strength unto his people.
The Lord will bless his people with peace.
fed this morning. Hallelujah. Did he feed you this week? Thank him. Did your kids go to the hospital this week? If they didn't, thank him. Hallelujah.
It is good
to praise the Lord and make music to your name. Oh, God Most High, to proclaim your love and faithfulness all the day and through the night. La la la.
Speak Hebrew. Whoop glory.
Whoop glory.
All right. They don't speak that in Israel, but we got to teach it to them.
Whoop kavod.
As my friend Sam Smith used to say, the kavod of the load is ready to explode. Lord, drop on us like a glory bomb. Drop a glory bomb on us, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's not about us.
Mayomer Moshe, Kuna Adonai, Via Hutsu Oivecha, Via Nusu Misanecha, Mipanecha. Ki mitzion tetzei Torah, ki mitzion tetzei Torah, udevar Adonai miYerushalayim, Baruch shenatan Torah, Torah, Baruch shenatan Torah, Torah, le'amo Yisrael b'kedushato.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Rise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Amen. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch et Adonai Hamvorah,
Baruch Adonai Hamrach Lelam Va'ed,
Baruch Adonai Hamrach Lelam Va'ed, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam, Asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim, Benatan lanu et Torato, Baruch atah Adonai Natein ha'Torah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One.
Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah,
Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen.
You can have a seat. Okay, today's Torah portion is from Deuteronomy chapter 16 through chapter 23. And it's called Shanaftim, which means to judge. And if you're, we have calendars, so you can keep up with the Hebrew months. We're in the month of Elul. It just started. And Elul begins, it's a month of Teshuvah, which means repentance. So it's leading us up, the month of Elul leads us up to the month of Tishrei, which involves the Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot are all within the month of Tishrei. You know, if we look at God's word today, you'll see that every day the words of the Torah must come alive for you each day. It's going to be new for you each day in your life. So let me encourage you to read God's word each and every day. There's a lot of, they've got all kinds of little things you can get on your cell phones or whatever, and you can get daily devotions. So there's a lot of things out there about God that you can get on your cell phone, or I guess you can get them on your TV. A lot of them are hooked up to these different apparatuses. I'm not a technology person, mad end anyway. But tradition, you know, there's a lot of, we hear a lot of talk about tradition. But you see, tradition is not life. Tradition preserves life. When you see, you know, a lot of times people talk about the Jewish tradition with the Torah and all the liturgy, but it's not life, but it preserves the life that we live. That's tradition. You see, the Torah is not really about tradition, but with the Torah, you must engage it to your very soul so it can be a part of you all the way down to your very soul. And so today we see Moses is beginning his final words to the Israelites, and he is, you know, and since the beginning of time, man has always felt the need to find out what was truth and what was justice. We've always had a need or an understanding sort of innate to us. And God has given us through the Torah a way, he's provided to mankind a way that we can have the absolute standard of truth. If you ever have a situation in your life, I always refer to the people. You know, I don't like to give advice to people because sometimes it don't work. My advice don't work out real good. I always say, go read God's word, and there you will get the ultimate answer. You'll get the answer that you need, not the answer that I'm going to give you, because a lot of times most people, when they seek advice, they sort of made up their mind anyway about what they're going to do. But I say, go to God's word, and there you will find the guideline and the principle to all of life's situations are in the Bible. It's the answer to every problem that you have, no matter what it is. The answer is there in those pages of God's word. And so God instructs the Israelites through Moses today. He says, plan, place, and put judges on your gates. And that's why today in the U.S. we have courts and we have judges and people that administer the laws of the land. It comes from the Bible. Well, God here says, establish judges that will help you govern yourselves and keep you on the path. The judges were to carry out, actually, the instructions of the Torah. That's what the original intent was. Carry out the instructions of the Torah. And it says, place them at the gates of your cities. That's where they would judge what's coming in. But it's a sign or a word for us today, talking about the gates that we have in our body. We have a gate of a mouth. We have a gate of touch. We have a gate that we can see. We have another gate that we can hear. It's, I guess we call them the five senses in your skin. These are the gates of your body. So that God is saying, put a judge at your gates. He's also referring to the gates of your body, because what you let in is coming into your body. It's the gate that information comes in. What you see, what you hear, what you touch, what you speak is information that's going into your body, and you're speaking. If you're speaking, you could be speaking it into someone else's body. The gates are also called to have judges over them. They are to guide you based upon God's word. That's the purpose of the judge. It was in the biblical times, and it should be in today's judgment that we have. But a lot of times that didn't always happen in the courtrooms. Everyone has to do this. We have to control our actions in the whole world. That's what we're responsible for, our actions. And God also, it was interesting, I was reading this, God talks about a monument, and all of a sudden that's become a great controversy in the United States, is monuments. And you know, the United States, if you really stand back, all of this hasn't just started last week in Charlottesville, Virginia. I used to go to school there many years ago. It wasn't a few years ago. It was a long time ago. But, you know, it's the world is so different, but it's been changing for a lot of years. It just didn't start in Charlottesville a couple of weeks ago. This change in America has been going on for it's been going on since I was a little boy. There's a lot of factions on both sides, no matter what side you lean to. There are people who want to destroy the United States, and they're doing a fantastic job. But God today says, do not erect or create a monument. A monument acknowledges something that has been done, and that's usually true. It acknowledges something that's been true. But God says, don't build a monument. God doesn't want a monument built to him. You know, we see paintings and portraits of what is our interpretation of what God or Yeshua would look like. But God says, don't erect a monument. Don't look back at something that was done, but look forward. You see, your reward is in front of you. It's not behind you. It's not on the side. What you did years ago no longer matters to God, because if you're a believer and you have Yeshua and the blood of the Lamb on the soul, then you don't have to look back. God doesn't look back. That's why he says it's your sins are as far as the east is from the west. And you've heard me say it many times. You'll never, if you start in the east here and you walk toward the west, you'll never get to where you wrap around and you'll be going east. North to south, yep, it changes. You start north, go south, and at some point you'll be going north again. But east to west, you never get to the west. You keep going. There's no way it wraps. It does not wrap around. It's a long walk, but you'll never get back from the west back around to the east. You don't do it. But God says, rather build an altar. You know, he charged the Israelites to build an altar and not to use any tools to make the altar. Make it just a rough altar. That's what he wanted. He didn't want anything that man created or used to be used for his altar. He says, do not make an altar out of hewn stones or rocks. Don't create the altar. Just take it from what God has placed upon the earth. And you know, each day, I think God is calling us as we move in the month of Elul to call ourselves, to submit ourselves to an altar that we should create, a place that we put ourselves upon the altar to God. You know, in Acts 17, it tells us that Yeshua is going to be the ultimate judge. He was appointed by God to judge the living and to judge the dead. He is the ultimate judge that will judge everything. And in the month of Elul, as I've said, it causes us to reflect, to be repentant, to change our lives. And there's two parts of repentance. Repentance must be involved. You must have remorse. You must be sorrowful for what you've done and ask God to remove the sin and to forgive you. And also, if you are remorseful, the second part of that is commitment. You have to have a commitment that you're going to go forward and not go back the old way. You have to walk forward. Remember, your reward is in front of you, because Yeshua said when he comes, he will bring the reward with him. So he's not going to come up behind you. He's going to be in front of you with his reward. You know, Yeshua is our rabbi. He's our teacher. He's our judge. He's the judge of the Torah. He is the Messiah. And he sets the pattern alone that we are to live by. That's the pattern. And I think that pattern is humility. That I think that's the pattern that he set more than anything, was to be humble. Let the Torah speak for itself. Read the Torah more. Pray that the Holy Spirit will inspire you, and let Yeshua teach you to do all things, and let people see his light through you. Shabbat Shalom.
Share shall Moshe, leave Nebene Israel,
I'll be
Yad Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand. Amen.
Etz Chayim L'Mazikim Ba B'Tom Leha Me'ushar D'Racheha D'Archenoha L'Chol Tivotecha Shalom Hashimei
the tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed.
Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace.
Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Set yourself down a spell. I learned that from the Beverly Hillbillies. I never met a hillbilly in Beverly Hills. I was there.
But you were there, so you were the hillbilly.
I guess I was the hillbilly, but I was pre-hillbilly, though. It was 27 years ago. Can I still be a hillbilly if I'm not a hillbilly yet?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
He was a future hillbillyist.
I didn't know I was going to be one.
But you were cut out for it.
I was from that cloth.
That's right. So he got here.
I'm
as
part
quick
of the
as,
quilt.
He got here as quick as he could. He says.
I'm part of the quilt. I'm just a little patch.
All right. You're going to hear more jokes from the rabbi here in a few minutes. So stay tuned. Message is coming up. And they say all the Jews, they all want to be comedians. So some of them made it. Some of them are still trying.
Good one, Doug.
He's funny. He's a good guy. We love our rabbi, don't we? Glad God kept him down so we'd have a little jokes here in our little synagogue, right?
Amen.
So,
we're a mega messianic synagogue.
In our mega messianic synagogue. All right. Hallelujah. So, just want to welcome everyone online who's watching, whether you're Facebook or on the website there, live streaming, and we invite you to come and join us in person. We're here at 1128 New Hampshire Avenue, Bristol, Virginia. So if you're close by in the area, in the region, please come and visit. And if you are called to the Jewish people, then this is a great opportunity, a place for you to serve. And if you're Jewish, this is a great place to get to know the Messiah. Amen. And it's also a great place to walk out your Jewish life with the Messiah. So please, if you're Jewish and you know the Lord, come and join us and help us build testimony for Israel right here in the East Tennessee and the North Carolina, the Southwest Virginia area. Hallelujah. You don't have to be Jewish anymore to believe in Jesus, do you?
Amen.
Or Messianic. Praise the Lord. Okay, and I think do we have any visitors here with me us this morning? Raise your hand if you've all been. We're all family. There's little Brooke, and it's nice to have you back. I like your dancing. She's good. Give it up for little Brooke. All right. And we've got the Middletons with us today, so give it up for the Middletons. Yay! And Aja made it today. She always makes it. Okay. Yeah? Quick. Yeah. Hallelujah. That is awesome. Aja's foot had surgery. And okay. All right. Miss Aja's walking well after her surgery and she's happy. Praise the Lord. God is good. All the time. Amen. All right. So just a couple of announcements here. First of all, our next event that's coming up is the Fall Feasts, okay? So it's not just one event. It's a multiple event. And it starts what day? Everybody tell me. What day does Rosh Hashanah start? Everybody say September 20th. If you don't have your God's calendar, okay, this is God's calendar. He's got a calendar. He's got appointments for you, okay? So you better check your appointment book. September 20th, Rosh Hashanah, okay? And we will have a schedule of events, our services, because we'll have special services. Rosh Hashanah is September 20th. The next week is Yom Kippur, and then following that is Sukkot, everything will end, I think it's in your bulletin, October. The last day of Sukkot is October 11th. So between September 20th and October 11th, please pencil in those dates as they come up, and just remind yourself this is a special time. It's not Rabbi Joe's time. It's not Dawn's time. It's not anybody else's time that they picked. It's God's time. He picked it. Yeah. So if God picked it, do you think we ought to honor it?
Yeah.
I think we ought to. So let's really make a commitment to coming into the house of the Lord to be together, because it says it's a command in His Word to be together, to worship Him together on these special days, and to come and to seek Him. It's a blessing, and it's a blessing to bless Him. All right? So don't forget your calendars. They're $13, okay, and they're out there.
I just want to add, if you like my prophetic teachings, I gave what I felt was probably the best prophetic series of CDs on the Fall Feast last year, and so for folks watching or anybody who is into the prophetic stuff that God gives me, I really felt He gave me some great revelation last year, and I believe He's going to give new stuff this year. But if you missed it last year, you ought to get a set of those CDs. There's none out here right now, but we'll get some out. But you can order them from Robin. And anyway, I'll even give you, if you're here, I'll give you 15% off. How do you like that? Does it get any better than that?
A deal.
So it could have been 12%, Amber, you know, but I gave 15%. Come on. Woo! All right, whoop glory.
Whoop glory. All right. Okay, so, yeah, there's plenty of teachings to get yourself warmed up, so if you want one of those, let me know. We've got extras down in the office. Okay, the next event after the Fall Feasts, and that's from September 20th to October, what did I say, 11th, all right? Don't forget. Then after that, we have scheduled a wonderful music group to come. They're from Israel, and they are the hottest revival music group in Israel today. And they perform on the stage at MJA, and they are just kicking. So I want you to go to YouTube and pull up Makedem from Israel.
Just Makedem, M-I-Q-E-D-E-M, Makedem.
Makedem.
You'll see a million hits on some of their songs.
Please go and watch them on YouTube, and then send send all your friends the link to it and let them know about it, because they are coming to Little Bristol, Tennessee. I mean, these
in
guys,
fact, they're
these
coming,
guys.
We're having it at the Church of God that I was at a couple weeks ago, because at Grace Point, because the venue they're too big to have on this stage, and also there'll be too many people. So,
and we want people to come. So. Yeah. We want people to be involved, especially young kids. And I want you to pray that God uses this event for unity, Jew and Gentile. It's going to be at Grace Point, Tuesday, October 17th.
Yes.
So put that on your calendar at Grace Point, Tuesday, October 17th. We'll have more details coming up. But please, go and Google and YouTube this group and share it with your friends and get all the kids and young people excited about coming to see this group. And I think it's going to be a great, great, great event. So also, just a couple of other things before we continue our service. Not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, we're going to have a work day with Wendell once again. So last time we repaired some of the things in the driveway, and I don't know what's on his list for next time, but we're just taking care of little projects here and there. And he's also got on his list to take care of the drainage behind the synagogue. That is going to be a bigger project, but I don't know what he's planning to work on. We'll talk about it later. But please, if you can, come and let's make it a fun day, a work day, a worship day with Wendell, not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday. Okay, we'll announce it again next Shabbat. All right. Also, we want to have a fall feast meeting, and I want to get your input on that quickly, because we have a choice. We can either do it this Wednesday night before prayer, like have a dinner, like a early dinner, 5:30, and meet before prayer, or we can have it next week after Shabbat. Now, next week is Labor Day weekend, so just keep that in mind. So, and everyone's welcome, but especially those who have leadership roles, in the service, the media, worship, children's ministry, everybody who's kind of got a leadership role, I really need you to be there. And anyone else who's kind of, but everyone's welcome. So let me get a show of hands. Who would like to do it Wednesday night, 5:30, dinner and meet? Raise your hand. Crystalline, you going to come? All right. Okay, and who would like to have it next Saturday?
Instead. Wednesday it is.
Okay, Wednesday before prayer. All right, so please come, and we'll have something like soup and salad or something. We'll talk about it. Yes. Sure. Yeah. We'll talk about details, but just we'll have something together. All right, and also we have had requests for some new members, and so we want to we might talk about that in the meeting, but I just want to let you know that there are some other members who want to come and join, and so we are going to be addressing that so that they can make their membership. And praise the Lord. One other personal, my dad's 80th birthday is today, and there. So I just wanted to let you know about that. I'll be going over to his celebration, but if you get a chance to say hello to him, I'm sure he would appreciate that. And one other personal thing, there is a, it's called Tri-Cities Aviation is putting on a commemorative Air Force B-17 will be at Tri-Cities, okay, on September 12th, so that whole week. And if you're interested in airplanes, are flying, or vintage airplanes, B-17 and P-51 is going to be on the ramp out there. So if you're interested in that, just talk to me later, okay? And that's going to be...
You can pass the flyer around. You can look at it, and then please give it back. But just set it down somewhere up front when you're all done with it. Set it in the front row. But let me just say something about that. Don is a member of the 99s. That means Yeshua left the 99 and he went after the one. And Don is the one. She's part of the. She's actually.
I was left behind.
Well, no, she was the one that was left behind. She joined the 99s. That's an association of female pilots. And I want to tell you, I want to give a praise report. We prayed for her to fly, and she's been flying. She's been doing flight instruction gradually. She's been getting more students, and she's been flying a few hours each week. And she's had two or three students, and more on the way. And God's blessing her up at Abingdon. So if anybody's looking for knows anybody looking for flight instruction, she's up there at Highlands Airport in Abingdon. So. I'm giving a plug for Miss Dawn. She's the top flight instructor in the Tri-Cities, and I know that to be true. you've tried the rest, now try the best. Amen. So, praise God. She's doing it. I mean, that's an answer to prayer. We prayed that she would get to fly, and she's flying.
All right, and that's all I have. I'll turn it up. Over to the rabbi.
Okay. All right. Just a quick minute, and I'll then we'll go to worship. But a guy I was talking to the rabbi who leads our conference of rabbis. He runs the group. See, there's the MJA, which is all the Messianic believers who are a part of that, and then there's the rabbis group. And he runs the rabbis group, and so he's in San Diego, and his name's Rabbi Dr. Joel Lieberman. He's a great guy. I was talking to him on the phone yesterday in he's in San Diego, and he said to me, a guy brought him this newsletter, and we were talking about a totally different matter. But he said a guy in his congregation brought him this newsletter that Messianic Judaism is the missing key to world revival, and said, Rabbi, you got to read this in San Diego. Okay, everybody say San Diego.
San Diego.
San Diego. So we're reaching people thousands of miles away. You know, we're just a tiny little ministry. I like what Roy Kendall said last week. He said we're the most unknown, the busiest unknown ministry around. You know, Roy and Mary. He said we're the busiest unknown people. That people nobody knows us, but we're busy. Running around, and that's like us. We're just a little Messianic congregation here in Bristol, but we're reaching people thousands of miles away. And this man who liked the newsletter and the message, Messianic Judaism is the missing key to world revival, he gave it to one of the lead rabbis of our conference, the lead rabbi of our conference, and he said, I'm going to read it. I haven't a chance to read it yet, but I'm going to check it out, you know. And so that's awesome. You know, amen. That is awesome. We're making an impact, guys. Amen. And it's because of prayer. It's because of worship. It's because you guys. It's because of all of us. It's because of the engine of this ministry. If you didn't come, if you didn't show up, you know, every one of you, we wouldn't be able to do it. You know, we amen. Just wouldn't be able to do it. So I want to praise God. So folks watching, or if you're not signed up, sign up and give these out. My friend Fred out here, he's given out hundreds, if not thousands, of a certain one called the Last President of the United States. But pass them out to people. Share them. You know, this is the key. I really believe this is the key to world revival. And if you're watching and you don't get our newsletter, you can sign up. Go to our website, which you're on because you're watching. And you can sign up for our newsletter, and it comes. We won't hassle you with a bunch of mailings. It comes out every couple of months, and it's a teaching. So praise God! It's not just a solicitation for money. Secondly, if you don't own a tallit, I went to Israel and I bought these Messianic tallit, which I'm wearing one of right now. If you like my tallit, you like my tallit?
Amen.
Handsome?
Yeah.
Stylish?
Yeah.
Okay. You can own your own tallit for under $40 and 15% off. For under $40 and 15% off. Such a deal. You can own your own tallit that I brought back specially from Israel for the men of this congregation to be able to have access. You know how much a nice tallit goes for? They usually go for $100 to $300.
He bargained hard for that one, believe me.
Oh man,
me.
I hammered hard. This guy. I literally, you know, I tipped him upside down and dropped him on his head. No, seriously though, we have a bunch of these. So get, you know, women, great gifts for your husband. I'm done. Let's bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Hallelujah. Wendell, would you pray over the tithes? And folks, if you're watching at home, if you'd like to contribute, you can do so on your website.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for those, Lord, that are obedient, Lord, and are giving, Lord, to this place. God, we just ask that you bless them, Lord. Lord, you know how much money we need to run this place, and we need people, Lord. People that will be committed to paying their tithes. Send them in, Lord. Send those soldiers in, Lord. We just ask that you bless the tithes this morning and the offerings, Lord. And let us not forget about alms either, Lord. They all three work together.
That's right.
And we give you all praise and honor for it, Lord, in Yeshua's name. And we need the little basket up here for, you put it there? Okay. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
worship His holy name.
of much affliction, I have chosen to be whole and untired. I'll give thee silver, and for brass I'll give thee gold. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thou art my
chosen.
Bless His holy name.
Bless His holy name.
Adonai, Mevorach, Mevorach. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, His name is to be praised. Hallelujah. So let's give Him praise. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the rising of the sun to its going down, the name of the Lord shall be praised. The name of the Lord shall be praised. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the name of the Lord shall be praised. Yishim Adonai Mevorach, Mevorach. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yishim Adonai Mevorach, Mevorach. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name.
powerful, amen. And he's going to take us to his land. Hallelujah. That's his plan. Amen.
Amen.
If that's his plan, we better follow him. Better not resist. Because he's got good things for us.
Or Don will whoop you.
I will.
Maybe.
I won't whoop you. and I cannot hear your voice. I'll hold on to what is true, though I cannot see. If the storms of life, they come, and the road ahead gets steep, I will lift my hands in faith, I will believe. Or the lows.
Amen.
We must remember whose we are. Regardless of the expectations or the disappointments, we must remember who He is. That He loves us and He holds us in His hands.
holy moment right now in His presence. Where the presence of the Lord is, there is freedom. Hallelujah. Where the presence of the Lord is, there is freedom. Hallelujah. A lot of people accuse Messianic Jews of being under the law. But we worship in spirit and truth. We're full of the Spirit. Anointed, appointed, and called for such a time as this. The world doesn't know how much it needs the Messianic Jewish community. The Messianic Jewish community needs the world. It needs the church. And the world needs both. Hallelujah. Because that's the key to revival, unity in the body. If you're watching, we're going to come to the Lord's table, which speaks of our unity. We are the, the hurricane hit Corpus Christi, which means body of Messiah, body of Christ. And somebody said judgment begins with the house of God. And we had the eclipse last Monday, and the rabbis have been teaching for centuries that a solar eclipse is a sign of judgment on the nations. Lunar eclipse is a sign of judgment on Israel. And so I see the two people ask me, they say, what do you see these two eclipses? And I say, I see them as bookends. The beginning of a time of judgment, but also with 7 years when the next one comes and at the end of that judgment. And I think there's going to be a mixture. I've also believed there's going to be a mixture of grace and blessing in this time that we're in, for certain reasons which I won't go into right now. But we have 7 years to get ready. Because when the next blood moon comes, when the next, solar eclipse comes, you don't want to be around. I'll tell you that. I'll say that. That's you know, I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, I'm saying thus saith Job, but I feel it. And I'm often right. If you're watching, we're going to go to the Lord's table. And so if you have some grape juice or crackers or matzah and you want a fruit of the vine, you want to join us and go grab some, get ready. We do it every week. So if you like to take, come to the Shulchan Adonai, the table of the Lord with us, which speaks of our unity, and then please get ready. And I'm going to ask Deborah, would you serve today? Would you serve? And Maria, would you come and serve? Okay. Hallelujah. I'm going to bless the elements. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen amin. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the dead on the third day, conquering the power of sin and death for us and bringing us, you know, Yeshua took the middle layer on Passover of the three pieces of matzah called the unity. He took the middle layer and he broke it into pieces and he gave it to his disciples, his talmidim in Hebrew. We say talmidim. And that means students or disciples. And he gave him that those pieces. He said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And you know, the fact that he broke it his body it signifies that we are a broken body. And God is, you know, it's like he's going to put us back together. That's the goal. And that is the ultimate perfection is when he puts us back together as one. And that's when the world will believe. That's may take till the day he comes, but when we're one in Messiah, when we are in unity, perfected. It says in John 17, perfected in unity. Perfected, that means we're one and we're spotless and we're perfected. Jew and Gentile, all denominations, and I look at the denominations as tribes, you know, the ones that are, you know, godly, and the people. The church is not a building, it's believers. God's people, Jew or Gentile. And we don't see people as Jew or Gentile, we see them as people. But God's word says Jew and Gentile. And those are the two groups that have to come together. Amen. Those are the two groups, you know. It's great for the French and the Italians to come together. And it's great for the Turks, you know, if there are any Christians left in Turkey. It used to be the seat of Christianity, but not too many left. But if there were any, it'd be great. You know, well, let's pick another place. You know, it's great for the Uruguayans and the Argentinian Christians to come together. But the key that to world revival is the whole. All the nations coming together with the believing remnant of Israel.
Amen.
That's the key. It really is. Hallelujah. So we invite all believers in Messiah. And if you're not a believer, let's close our eyes and bow our heads for a minute. If you're not a believer, just raise your hand. If you're not a believer in Yeshua, just raise your hand. If you don't know Yeshua, just raise your hand. And I'll pray with you. Do you know Yeshua as your Messiah? That's Jesus. Hallelujah. If you don't, you can just tell him, Lord, and forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I've messed up. I have broken your laws. I have failed. I admit that I'm not perfect and that your standard is perfection. Your standard is perfection. I haven't always done the right things, haven't always said the right things, have not always had the right things in my heart. And so, thank you for sending your son, Yeshua, to wash me through his sacrificial blood, that he cleanses me and washes me, makes me a new creation, and that because I believe in him, my name is in the book of life. I'm forgiven, and we're all forgiven because of what you did. Not because of who we are, not because of our good deeds, but because of what you did, Lord. In Yeshua's name. If you're at home and you don't know the Lord, and you just pray with me, pray along something similar to what I just prayed. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask him to cleanse you by his blood, to wash you. Ask him to come and dwell in you, his spirit, to come in and dwell inside you and make you a new creation. If you're sincere, he'll do it. If you're sincere, he'll come. And ask him to put your name in the book of life. Hallelujah. And if you did that, let us know. Drop us a line, and we'll pray for you. Hallelujah. If you have prayer requests, you can send them to us as well. Praise the Lord. So let's prepare our hearts to come. And ladies, I turn it over to you. It's powerful and knocking them out there in the front row.
Faithfulness, oh God.
Praise the Lord. We've had an emergency. Carol had to leave because her Billy is, she's Billy's aunt, but she has custody over little Billy, you know, little Billy. And Billy was playing football this morning and he had a head injury and they had to take him to the hospital. So we just want to pray before we take the communion. Let's just pray for Billy and Carol. She had to rush off to take him to the hospital. I don't know what happened. I have no details. Isaac, do you have any more other details? He had a very bad headache, but he's awake. Okay, all right. Well, let's pray for Billy, and then we'll consume. Heavenly Father, we just want to intercede right now for our beloved little Billy. We love Billy, Lord. He's sweet and he's naughty, but we love him, and he is a joy. He's just full of life. He's excited by life. He questions everything. He loves to hang out with the big guys. He's a great kid, and Lord, he's been given a wonderful chance. His parents have left him, abandoned him, and his aunt, his wonderful aunt, has taken custody of him, and Xavier. And we just pray that you would intercede right now and help him, Lord, as Josh knows what it's like to get a head injury. And Josh, you want to pray for Billy? Okay, I'll pray for him. Father, we just pray that you would just heal his head. Take the pain, Lord. Let there be a good report from the doctor. We pray, Lord, that nothing broken, nothing lost. Father, we ask that you are the healer. You are the miracle working God. Have mercy on this child. Let it just be I've played football. I've been knocked, and I never had a concussion, but I've had headaches. let it just be a bad headache, Lord. Let it just be a headache in the sun. But let him not have a concussion. No bones broken, Lord, we pray. Fix anything that's out of place, Lord. Any discs or joints, anything in his neck. If it was a whiplash, Lord, we just pray that you would restore it and heal. Give the doctors the mind of Messiah, the mind of Yeshua. Give them the hands of Yeshua, Lord. Let their thoughts be your thoughts. Let them do the scans and the tests that need to be done, not fool around as they do, oh, we have to do an x-ray, and we have to do this, and we have to do that. Just do what needs to be done to treat this boy, Lord, and heal him, Lord. Heal Billy, Lord, and bring us a good report. Lord, we pray. Join me, folks. Yes. Hallelujah. Father, we just pray right now for a good report by the end of this service.
Yes,
we pray for a good report from Carol by the end of this service, that a phone call will come in, and a good report for Billy, Lord, that we will receive a good report for Billy, that he's okay. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Heal him, Lord, right now. In Yeshua's name, Lord, we pray. We beseech you, O God. We beseech you. Touch him. Hallelujah. And Lord, protect all of our children. All of our children. Those here. Riley's playing football today. We pray for Riley, who's out there, that you would just cover him in your blood and protect him, Lord. Protect him. Hallelujah. Give your angels charge over Riley as he plays. Pray for all the kids, Lord, who are watching, families, grandchildren, people here. We just pray for all the children, Lord, that are connected to us, Lord, that you would just cover them in your blood as they go out there and on these athletic fields, whether it's soccer, whether it's baseball. Man, I broke my nose playing baseball. Riding their bikes. Whatever it is they're doing, Lord, skateboarding, you can break your neck skateboarding, skiing, concussions, all kinds of things. We just pray for the children as they play sports. We pray your protection over them in the name of Yeshua, Lord. Guard them. Put your angels around them, Lord. And keep them safe from harm and injury. In Yeshua's name, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. We're going to take the elements now. Thank you, God, for what you did for us on the cross, Lord, and that we have the power to pray, that you hear our prayers, that you're seated at the right hand of God. We ask in Yeshua's name, Lord. L'chaim, to life in Yeshua. Amen. Let's bless the children. And children, come and gather around. Adults, please come and gather around the kids. And let's pray for them. If you can't come up, just reach your hands out.
May the Lord receive you from shame. May you come to be Israel, a shining name. May you be like Ruth and like David. May you be deserving of praise. Strengthen us, O Lord, and keep us in Messiah's way.
Children, those who are here and those who are not here, Lord, we just thank you that they are arrows in our quiver. They are the beginning of our strength. They are our heritage. They are new life. They are a sign of life. Hallelujah. And we give thanks for the kids, Lord. They're just a joy. And most of the time. We love them, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, you bless them as they go to class today, Lord. Anoint their ears to hear and their eyes to see. Anoint their teachers to bring forth the word of God for them to receive it, to listen, to hear your voice. Help them to hear your voice as Samuel heard your voice, Lord. I pray and knit them together as brother and sister in unity and in love. Help them to obey and be good kids. in school and in synagogue and in life. I pray in Yeshua's name. Now, kids, I want to just say one thing to you, okay? Turn around, look at me. All right? I'm going to sit down for a sec. So I can get on your level. You know that if you, the world out there will teach you, there's a lot of bad stuff out there, okay? Do you know that? There's a lot of bad stuff out there. But if you read your Bibles and you follow God's word and do what God tells you to do and you listen to God, you'll have a good life. Okay? You know how I know that? Because I didn't know God when I was your age and I didn't listen. And I had a lot of problems. But God fixed my problems when I met him, because he showed me the right way. And when you read the Word of God, when you put down the video games and you actually read the Bible and learn it, learn God's Word. He made you. You know, God created you. You know, he's the one who made you. He created you in the womb. And he has a purpose, a plan for your life. And if you will just, all he wants, if you just one simple thing, two simple things, four simple things. Here's the four simple things. Read the Bible. Pray. God wants to talk to you. You don't have to get fancy and say, oh, you know, Heavenly Father, I come before you and I beseech you, O Lord. You know, just talk to him. Dear God, I'm here. Here I am. Hineni. I need you. Help me, God. I have this problem and I want to tell you about it. Or thank you, God, for giving me an A on my test. Or thank you, God, for helping me win my game. Or thank you, God, for healing me because I got hurt. Thank you, Lord, for healing me and making me better. Amen. Hallelujah. So pray, read God's word, stay in congregation, stay in fellowship. Okay? And number four, share the Lord. If you know Yeshua, do you guys know Yeshua? Tell other people, your friends, about him. Tell your friends about Yeshua. About him and what he's done for you. Josh, did he heal you? Are you thankful? Go and tell a friend. Tell some of your friends about what God did for you. Amen. Josh was in the hospital a week ago. Just a week ago, he was in the hospital. And now he's home and he's better. He's better. And I saw the scans and they weren't pretty. But he's better now. Praise God. Yeah. Answer prayer. Yeah. So if you follow God's ways, but you have to learn them, God will bless you. Okay? You are dismissed. Can somebody help me out? the mic? Is this mic working? Okay. Hi, folks. We just had we had a broken microphone, so we had to switch and try to fix it. So sorry for the. But we'll be right with you here. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. All the time. You know, the more effective we are for the Lord, the more the enemy is going to fight us, and the more opposition, the battle is going to be. And you know, it doesn't matter. I just want y'all to say this with me. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's not about you, and it's not about me. It's about Him. It's not about how you feel. It's not about It's not about, you know, how the weather is. It's all about Him, you know. And so we come together and worship. You know, I remember days when I used to attend another assembly before I was a leader of one. And I had days when I just went kicking and screaming. I didn't want to go. But God said, get up, get out of bed, get up and go. And I went. Sometimes I was in a foul mood. You know, I just didn't want to go. Have you ever had one of those days? Raise your hand. You just didn't feel like going. And if you're lying, raise your hand. Okay, so, but it's, you know, God says, do not forsake the gathering together, the coming together. You can put it in front, Isaac. You can put it right there. In the right in the middle is fine. Yeah. All right. Praise the Lord. I just want to make sure it's. Can you? They see me. Yeah. Okay. All right. So it's not about us. But today's message is called "Stirring Up the Gifts and Moving in the Spirit." Stirring up the gifts and moving in the Spirit. And one question that people have frequently asked all throughout my years as a believer is, what are my spiritual gifts? People have asked me, what are my spiritual gifts? And many people, this is throughout many years, I don't know what my gifts are. I don't know what I'm called to do. I don't know what my calling is. People have said to me, I don't know what my calling is. And so this message is about stirring up the gifts in you and helping you identify that and how to move in the Spirit, moving in the Spirit. And so it's going to be a combination of let's just turn it off, Isaac, because I'll turn it off. No, because I'm not going to, it's interrupting. Okay, so I'm just going to use my handheld here. All right, anyway, so thank you, though, for fixing it. So, stirring up the gifts, moving in the Spirit is so important. First, we must address what are spiritual gifts and calling. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. How are you going to know what your gift is if you don't know what the gifts are? Amen? Amen. So, now, 1 Corinthians 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. This is the Apostle Paul. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Yeshua is accursed. And no one can say Yeshua is Lord except by the Ruach HaKodesh, by the Holy Spirit. No one can say Yeshua is Lord except by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Okay? Hallelujah. I lost my place there for a second. But to each one, everybody say, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So that means each one of you is given the manifestation of the Spirit, and we're not all given the same. We're going to see that in Romans. We're not all given the exact the same amount, the same gifts. We're not all given the same manifestation of the Spirit. Each one is different. We're all different parts of the body. Some are given, and you know, we'll talk about that. So let's go on here. Verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Okay, I'm going to read that again. So for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. And so what is that, the word of wisdom through the Spirit? Well, wisdom will tell you, you know, here's a word of wisdom. Don't go to Corpus Christi, Texas today or tomorrow. Okay? Don't go there. Go in two or three weeks if you want to go down and help, but wait till it's over. Don't go into the eye of the storm. Okay, that's a word of wisdom. I didn't even need to, you know, you know, that's just, you know, that's just an example, okay? If you see a riot, if you see a demonstration where people are beating the tar out of each other, two sides, don't go there. A woman died in Charlottesville. I don't know if she was participating in the violence. I don't know who she was. You know, they say, you know, a lot of nice things were said about her. She's probably a nice lady. But what was she doing in the middle of this violent thing? You know, stay home. Watch it on TV. Don't run into a fire unless you're a fireman. Good preaching, Rabbi. Don't run into a fire unless you're a fireman. Amen. Don't run to the front of, you know, the Eastern Front, First World War, Second World War. Don't run to the front unless your commanding officer sends you. You know, stay in your ditch, hunker down, and wait till somebody tells you to go. Otherwise, you could get killed. And if you lose your life, there is no glory. There's no glory. And all that's going on right now in America over memorials and statues, there's no glory in dying for this stupidity that's going on in this country right now. There's no glory for either side. There's no glory in fighting and dying for either side. It's just it's really stupidity. Doesn't matter what side you're on. If you're going to go out there planning to fight and get into it, you're asking for it. Amen. Okay, let's. So that's wisdom. Okay, I have that gift. Praise the Lord. Solomon had it, has had the most wisdom. Okay, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. A word of knowledge is when somebody gives you when you know your God speaks to you knowledge, like he told me that Donald Trump would be president 9 months before he became president. That was a word of knowledge. God revealed to me that Donald Trump, and you can get the newsletter, you can go to our website if you're watching, the Last President of the United States newsletter, just go to newsletters on our website. You'll see it was a newsletter that we wrote in 2016. It was the product of three sermons in February of 2016 where we predicted that Donald Trump would be the president and many other things we predicted that were from word of knowledge. So God has given me the gift of word of knowledge. Amen? Okay. So some of you may have the word of knowledge. I'm just giving you some examples. So we're each given these things by the Spirit. Number 9, to another, faith. Some people have great faith. And some people, remember, do you ever watch Gulliver? The Adventures of Gulliver, the cartoon? And there was this guy on there, Gulliver, were these Lilliputians, these little people. And Gulliver was this giant who was shipwrecked, and he landed on there on this, you know, tropical island, and there were these little people called Lilliputians, and they found him, and he was, you know, knocked out. He had been in a shipwreck, and he was on the beach. He was unconscious, and they tied him up. These little munchkin people tied him up, and there was one guy. Actually, eventually he became friends with them, and so one of the guys, each one had a personality, and one of these little people, his name, I forget his name, but he would say, you know, we're doomed, we'll never make it. Every time they'd come up with a plan to do something, he'd say, we're doomed, we'll never make it, we're doomed, you know. Well, and so he had no faith. But some people have great faith. You know, Madonna came in here sick. She had chest cold one night on a, I think it was a Wednesday night. And she had, or it might have been a Saturday. It was a Wednesday. And you had faith for your healing. And I was, you know, urging you, you know, to get an x-ray. Because I had some friend. I lost a good friend who had what he thought was just a chest cold. It was pneumonia. He didn't treat it, didn't take his antibiotics, and within a week he was dead. He didn't get a chest x-ray. He didn't know, and he was dead in a week. He was my dear friend, Barry Brummer, 67 years old, healthy as a horse. I'd love to be as healthy as he was when I'm 67. You know, but Madonna didn't want to go get an x-ray. That's her right. But she had faith to believe for her healing, and I said, I'm going to agree with you, and we anointed you and prayed over you, and what happened? She got better that night. Within a week, the cough was gone, and she got healed. Praise God. So she had the gift of faith, and faith is critical to get receiving healing, to receiving from God. You've got to have faith. Everybody say that. You've got to have faith. You've got to have faith. So if you don't have faith, ask God, pray, God, give me faith. Give me, help my unbelief. And that's another way of saying it. Help my unbelief. Give me more faith. God says, you have not because you ask not. He says, you have not because you ask not. You know, and a recent speaker that I heard said to me, you know, they're not planning, this particular couple that I recently heard speak said they're not planning on you know, their future for their retirement or anything. They have no plan, and you know, if I got a chance to get a hold of this person, I would say to them, you know, plan. I'm seeing too many rabbis who didn't plan, who are hitting 67, 70 years old, 71, 72, who don't have a retirement, and they don't have a plan, and they don't have anyone to take over their synagogues, and they're getting too tired or too sick to run them, and they don't have a younger guy to take over, and that because they didn't plan, they didn't have a plan. And I'll be honest with you, our entire Messianic movement, we didn't create a seminary. There are seminaries out there now, but you know, we didn't support it. We didn't really. It was too late. We waited too long. We should have started a seminary 30 years ago for the Messianic movement. We should have started a seminary teaching people to be rabbis and encouraging kids to go into Messianic seminary and become rabbis, training them to come in and build. Instead, we didn't. We have many teachers, and I'm calling it like I see it, and I'm a rabbi. We have many teachers, but few fathers. There are, and that's true of the church too. There's many teachers, but few fathers. And I didn't. That's not my words. That's Paul. So it's sad, you know. But we were talking about faith. So verse 9, to one, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, discernment of spirits. Oh, that's a big one. That's a big one. Who do you hang out with? Who do you touch? Who do you lay hands on? Who do you mingle with? Who do you eat with? You could be eating dining with the devil and not know it. You have to discern the spirits, and that's a gift. You have to develop discernment to know, is this person kosher? Kosher means clean. It means clean. Biblically kosher, technically modern, rabbinically clean, it's referring to food. But I'm saying kosher in a sense that is somebody kosher to hang out with, especially if you're in a profession where you're laying hands on people. When I go to a doctor's office, I went to a masseuse one time, okay? Here's a story. I had back issues for years, so I go get massages now and again. So I called this masseuse. My mother recommended her. My mother said, go to this masseuse. She's great. So I said, okay. So I called the masseuse, and guess what I asked her? I said, are you into Eastern religion, or are you, what are you, what's your, do you, is that part of your massage, deal, or are you into, because I used to go, when I was not a believer, to a Buddhist masseuse, and she had, incense and Buddhas in the room, it was part of, her religion was part of her job. And so I asked this lady, I said, what's your spiritual? She said, oh, I'm a Christian. Well, I believed her, So I went for the massage, and I came into the room where the massage was, and there were all these Buddhist, what do they call those? Colorful flags. They're like prayer flags. These Buddhist, I don't know what they're like prayer flags. If you go into a Buddhist, look them up on Facebook, Buddhist prayer flags. They're colorful, they're beautiful, and they're unclean as the day is long. Okay? They're spiritually unclean. And I'm like, wait a second. I thought you told me you weren't a Buddhist. She said, I'm not. I'm a Christian. My husband is a Buddhist. I said, okay, so you got Buddhist prayer stuff around the room. Well, I was there, did the massage, and I ended up getting a skin infection that was took really difficult to get rid of. It took 6 weeks to get rid of that skin infection. I don't know if it came from under her fingernails or dirt, something unclean on the table, but it cost me a lot of money, a lot of antibiotics, and it was from that. Because, and I tried. Sometimes you try to use your discernment. I probably should have, when I saw those flags, I probably should have just said, thank you, but no thank you, I'm walking out. And I will never do that again. I'm very cautious. And when I go, to any kind of a massage or anything like that, I always pray, Lord, let no unclean thing come upon me. Deborah here is a masseuse, and I would have no problem, Dawn would definitely be with me because I have a policy of not being alone with a woman, and that's just to protect both, from the appearance of impropriety. But my point is that I know Deborah, and I don't have any problem with her. But there's be careful who you let handle you. And pray. You go to the doctors. Pray, Lord, let no unclean thing come upon me. Protect me. You go to a doctor's visit. There's sickness everywhere. You just go to your regular general, your family doctor. There's people coming in with fevers and coughs and sore throats, and they're sitting in chairs, and their germs are everywhere. Pray, God, protect me from this sickness. You're more. It's easier to get sick going to the doctor than it is before you go. If you stay home, I've learned that. stay out of a crowd, you're less likely to get sick. Okay, so let's move on. And to another, the effecting of miracles, and to another, prophecy, and to another, the distinguishing of spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individuals just as he wills, individually, just as he wills. So the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. We don't all get the same gifts. We don't all get the same amount of faith and so forth. For even as the body is one and yet is, has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Messiah. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into the body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And I'll stop there. There's a little more talk of gifts in chapter 14. God says, listen, chapter 14, it says, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. God tells us to earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Why? Well, but especially that you may prophesy, Paul says. Paul says, earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Okay? So God's telling you, ask him. If you desire them, you mean you got to ask God. You have not, remember, you have not because you ask not. So if you don't have a gift, ask him. God, I want to prophesy. Give me the gift of prophecy. Ask him. Earnestly desire, Paul says. How many of us do that? How many of us go around asking God for spiritual gifts? How many of us think to do that when we pray? Some do, but not all of us. I mean, you know, it's we would see a lot more of it if people did it. And I'll give you an example in a little bit, okay? For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But one who prophesies edifies the church or the congregation, the assembly. Now, I wish that you all spoke in tongues, Paul says, but even more that you would prophesy. And greater is one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the whole congregation may receive edifying. You see, the gifts, it says, were given for the edification of the body. That's why God gave us the gifts, to edify and to strengthen and to encourage the body of Messiah. Amen? That's the purpose of the gifts, is for edification. Now it says in verse 28, and God has appointed in the assembly first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. Now these are callings. These aren't just gifts. These are actual callings. And God has appointed, these are offices. Apostles first, verse 28 of chapter 12. Second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings. He's also appointed evangelists and pastors, which is teachers or rabbis, and so we see that again elsewhere. But I'm gonna let's just read here, verse 28. So, and God has appointed in the assembly first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts. And of course, he says, I show you a more excellent way, and that is love. Love is the greatest gift of all. Love is the greatest gift of all. Now, I'm a watchman, and a lot of people, I use social media to warn people about stuff and to tell what I to explain things as I see it as truth. because I'm a watchman. For our ministry is, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. Isaiah 62. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not hold my peace until her righteousness shines forth like a blazing torch. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall not hold their peace day or night. Amen. God called me as one of my gifts and callings, my office. I'm my office, one of my offices. I wear many hats. I used to wear a baker's hat. And I've worn a rabbi's hat and a landlord's hat and an evangelist hat. And one of my hats is a watchman. God has made me a watchman to warn the people. I have, he's given me many, many spiritual gifts. So let me go on. So, if you don't know what your gifts are, you need to ask God, pray. And Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 says, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Messiah. That's why he gave us the gifts. That's why he gave us the offices of the apostle. And there are apostles today. An apostle is just an emissary. It's someone who was sent. That's what it means. An apostle means one, a sent one. I was sent here to start the assembly. I guess you could say I'm an apostle. I was sent from far away to start the assembly, this assembly here. So technically, by definition, I'm an apostle. I just don't put it on my business card. I'm not into that. The Apostle Joe Bell. I just don't advertise it. Maybe I'm a prophet. I don't put on my business card, the Prophet Joe Bell. If I'm a prophet, let God show you. Amen. Let God show you. Let God tell you who I am. I don't need to boast in who I am. I know who I am. I know what my gifts are, and I know what my calling is, and I also know the opposition that comes toward me. But I don't have to brag about it. Okay, interestingly, turn to 1 Samuel 24. Well, first of all, I just want to say, turn to 1 Samuel 15 for a second. This is really neat. Now, Romans 11, well, you're turning to 1 Samuel 15. King Saul, God told Samuel, tell Saul to destroy the Amalekites, to destroy King Agag, to kill the women and the children, okay, and to kill the women and the children. And he was sent to and kill the animals, kill the livestock, kill everything. Saul, God told Saul to go to the Amalekites and destroy them utterly, wipe them out. This is the God of the Bible, and Saul didn't do it. Saul took Agag, he kept the king. Brought him back to camp. He kept the animals. And there was another group of people living with the Amalekites that I'm imagining, I can't remember their names. If anyone sees it in the chapter before, they were dwelling with the Amalekites. Somebody got away. How do we know somebody got away? Because Agag was the king of the Amalekites, and we come a few hundred years later, several hundred years later, this guy Haman in the book of Esther, and he was a descendant of Agag, the king of the Amalekites. So we're hundreds of years down the line, and Haman is a descendant of the Amalekites, the very king and the people that Saul was ordered to kill. But Saul was disobedient, so we read in verse 15, chapter 15 of 1 Samuel verse 1. Then Samuel said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you as king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore listen to the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he set himself against him on the way while he was coming up from Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and utterly destroy all that he has. Do not spare him, but put to death both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." Then Saul summoned the people and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. Saul came to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the valley. Saul said to the Kenites, "Go depart from among them." It was the Kenites that were dwelling with the Amalekites, "so that I do not destroy you with them." There you go. There's your some Amalekite woman had relations with a descendant of Agag, the king, and that family went off. That mother went off carrying that baby descendant of the king. Maybe she was with the king. Okay? And the descendant lived. God didn't say, "Don't kill the Kenites." He said, "Kill them all. Destroy them all." The whole book of Esther wouldn't have been written if Saul had obeyed. The whole book of Esther would not have been in the Bible. All that trouble that Esther went to, and all the trouble the Jews faced, and the whole big deal of the book of Esther wouldn't have taken place if Saul just did what he was supposed to. Praise God. Okay. So Saul disobeyed, and Samuel, let's go to verse 10. "Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I regret," this is from the Lord, "I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not carried out my commandments." And Samuel was distressed and cried out to the Lord all night. Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, and it was told Samuel, saying, "Saul came up to Carmel and beheld a seat and a monument for himself." He set up a monument for himself. Then turned, as Anthony said, don't do that, and turned and proceeded on down to Gilgal. Samuel came to Saul and Saul to him. "Blessed are you of the Lord. I have carried out the command of the Lord," Saul said. But Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but the rest we have utterly destroyed." Was that the commandment? Partial obedience is disobedience. Loyal opposition is rebellion. Loyal opposition is rebellion. Partial obedience is disobedience. Okay, there is no gray area. You're either holding up Moses' arms or you're letting him down. Okay? When Moses was fighting the Amalekites, when the children of Israel, Hur and Aaron were holding up Moses' arms, and as long as they held up his arms, they won the battle. When they let Moses' arms down, they were losing the battle. Okay? Let me finish this here. So Saul disobeyed God, and here's what God did. Then Samuel said to Saul, "Wait, and let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night." And he said to him, "Speak." Samuel said, "Is it not true, though you were little in your own eyes, you were made, verse 17, the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed you king over Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners and the Amalekites and fight against them until they are exterminated.' Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but rushed upon the spoil and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord?" Then Saul said to Samuel, "I did obey the voice of the Lord and went on the mission on which the Lord sent me and have brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took some of the spoil, sheep and oxen." And, you know, he didn't obey. He admitted it. And Samuel said, "Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination." Rebellion is the same as witchcraft. When you rebel against God, and that's what's happening in this country, people are Christians. When I point out in Romans 13 that it says all authority is from God and there is no authority which exists that is not from God, obey the governing authorities, some guy said, well, that doesn't apply today. Okay. Daniel 2:21 says God raises up kings and he takes them down. Somebody else said to me, Trump's not a king. Well, they didn't have presidents back then. But what is it about all authority is from God and there is no authority? What is it about no that you don't understand, sir? What is it? You know, all authority is from God. Obey the governing authorities. It's very clear in Romans 13 and Daniel 2:21 and I think 1 Peter 2 says submit to the king. Submit. So, you know, I'm seeing Christians with their mouths cursing, hating, calling for the murder and the impeachment and the destruction of God's anointed leader of this country. He's God's anointed. Now is he perfect? No, I'm not saying he's perfect, but was Saul perfect? David wouldn't strike him. Let's look at this. 1 Samuel 24:6. This is after Saul got back in. You know what Saul's punishment was? Back in chapter 15. This is what Saul's punishment was. Samuel said to him, verse 26 of 1 Samuel 15, but Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. Wow. The Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. But then you see King David, if you go to chapter 24, and in verse 5, the men of David said to him, behold, this is the day of which the Lord said to you. Well, let's just start in verse 1. Now when Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness and in Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men in front of the rocks of the wild goats. He came to the sheepfolds on the way where there was a cave, and Saul went in to relieve himself. He had to go to the bathroom. So he went into the cave where David and his men were hiding. Okay? Now David and his men were sitting in the inner recesses of the cave. The men of David said to him, behold, this is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I am about to give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it seems good to you. This is what David's men were saying. Kill this guy. God's given him into your hand. And this is what David said. This is why David was so awesome. And David said to his men, far be it from me, because of the Lord, that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, since he is the Lord's anointed. David persuaded his men with these words and did not allow them to rise up against Saul. And Saul arose and left the cave and went on his way. He was hunting David like a dog. David wouldn't strike him. Again, in 1 Samuel 26, verse 9, we see another encounter with Saul. They went down into the camp of Saul when they were sleeping at night. And it says in verse 7, so David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping inside the circle of the camp with his spear stuck in the ground at his head, and Abner and the people were lying around him. Then Abishai said to David, today God has delivered your enemy into your hand. Now, therefore, please let me strike him with the spear to the ground with one stroke, and I will not strike him the second time. But David said to Abishai, do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be without guilt? Wow. Then David said, also, as the Lord lives, surely the Lord will strike him. On his day will come that he dies, or he will go down into battle and perish. In other words, God will take care of Saul. I don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. And I have a word for President Trump. You don't have to, President Trump, Mr. President, sir, you don't have to fight your enemies. God, the battle belongs to the Lord. And he is our defense, the Bible says. He is our defense, God. You don't have to defend yourself on Twitter. You don't have to fight every battle against every commentator or everybody that speaks against you. God will fight for you. If you would, sir, would just step out of the way and let God do it. That's a word. I hope it gets to him. And he'd be a lot more at peace if he just let God fight his battles. Amen? So you know what else is really cool about David telling his men, teaching them, don't strike the Lord's anointed? Because he is the Lord's, and he got anointed too as king. And you know what? There came a day, everybody say there came a day, when things got really bad for David. He went off with the Philistines to go get Saul. He wasn't really going to get Saul, but he went off with his men. And he left the women and children back in the camp at Ziklag. And this group of bandits came down and raided the camp and took the women and children and all the livestock and all the good, you know, all the good junk they took with them. And David and his men came back, and all their wives and their children and livestock and everything was missing. And so they went and hunted them down, and they took everything back, and not one life was stolen, was killed. But the men wanted to stone David. David's men, his own men, wanted to stone him and kill David. And you know what it says? It says David encouraged himself in the Lord. How did he deal with it when his men wanted to kill him? It says he encouraged himself in the Lord. I can only imagine he sang songs and praised the Lord and worshiped God, and God protected him. You and God are an army. When you're with God and you're in God's good graces, you and God are an army. It's all it takes. Gideon. Hallelujah. Okay, so notice, this is after Saul was rejected as king. David wouldn't strike God's anointed, even though he'd already been rejected. Samuel said, God has rejected you as king, and his death was coming soon. But David still wouldn't strike him. That, you know, This is awesome. And then Psalm 105 says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. If you know someone to be a prophet of the Lord, you're messing with the Lord if you do harm to one of God's prophets. You are messing with God. So touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. All right. Praise the Lord. For the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable and without repentance. That means that if you have a driver's license and you're DUI, driving under the influence, and you go to court and they take away your driver's license, okay? But if you're with God's license that he gives you for his gifts and his calling, you can get a DUI. You can get a battery where you beat somebody, a burglary. You can get locked in jail. You can be locked up in prison. You can even rob a bank and possibly kill somebody. I'm not telling you to do that, but you know, and you don't lose your license. Because the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. They are irrevocable. The license that God gives you is not about you. Say, it's not about me. God's gifts to you doesn't matter if you feel good. It doesn't matter if you've had a bad day. It doesn't matter if you're sick. It doesn't matter. You know, I was at Grace Point a couple weeks ago, and the pastor, and I've received some great anointings, asked me to pray for him, and God laid it on him thick. Didn't he, Fred and Martha? He laid it on him thick that day. Amen. Because I didn't particularly, my son was in the hospital, I didn't particularly feel super spiritual that day. I'd been in the hospital and up till 3 a.m. and I'm in church the next day. And the pastor asked me to pray for him, and I gave him, you know, God gave him a double portion, and the church went wild with what God did. Amen. The church went wild and praying, and people were getting prayed for, and lines formed, and everybody came forward. It was awesome. You know, you can watch it. I don't know if it's still online at Grace Point in Bristol. You watch that service 2 weeks ago tomorrow, is when it was. So anyway, it doesn't matter what you're feeling, what you're, if you got a ticket, if you got arrested, it doesn't matter. Your gifts are without repentance. Hallelujah. Romans 12, 3, 6. We each have gifts given to us by a different measure of grace that God gives us. We do not all have the same gifts or measure of faith and grace from God. Each of us is given a different measure of faith, and to each of us is given a different measure of grace. Okay, stirring up the gifts. First, you gotta get them. Stirring up the gifts. You got to get them first. You got to know what they are. If you don't know what your gifts are, God likes when we are childlike. So at first, when you first find out, you get a gift, you figure out, hey, I have this gift. Play with it like a toy. Play with your gift. Practice. When you find out you have a gift, be like a kid. Play with your gift. Practice it. You know, whatever it is, whether it's word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, whatever your gift is, helps. Walk in it. And if you don't have an opportunity to walk in it, ask God to give you one. He loves children, and he loves when we play with our gifts, but he wants you to master them. Later he becomes more serious about your gifts, and your responsibility with them will increase, and they won't be games anymore. You know, he gets more serious as time goes by, and don't waste your gifts. If I can give you, gosh, one word today, don't waste your gifts. Don't let your life go by and having wasted your gift, whatever they are. Please. Because you're going to have to stand before God and give an account. Too many people sit in churches, let the pastor do it. Let the rabbi do it. And the rabbis and the pastors are working themselves to death, but they're getting all the treasures in heaven. You know? And the 5% or whatever of the people, or 7% that are helping them. You know, they're storing up the treasures in heaven, and while everybody else is just warming the bench. Don't let your gift go to waste. 1 Samuel 9:15. In some case, like Saul being anointed king, he was anointed as a great warrior to defeat the Philistines. That was the anointing of Saul as king, and he was calling was to defeat the Philistines. Saul prophesies, and he prophesied, and Samuel said when he anointed Saul as king that you're going to go meet these guys after he was anointed, and you're going to prophesy. And Saul went down the road, and he met these guys that Samuel said, and then Saul was prophesying. And they all the people that knew Saul said, is this the son of Kish? This is Saul, the guy we knew? I've never seen him prophesy before. So, I just want to tell you, Elisha asked Elijah in 2 Kings 2 for a double portion of his spirit. And he got it. Elijah said to him, you can read it in 2 Kings, he says, Elijah said to Elisha, said, ask of me what I shall do for you. Ask of me what I shall do for you. And Elisha said, give me a double portion of your spirit. And Elijah said, that's a very difficult thing you've asked me, but if you see me when I'm taken from you, then it shall be as you say. And sure enough, when Elijah died, the heavens were opened up, and the chariots that came down to get Elijah, the dead prophet, who's being taken up. And how do I know he was dead? Because in Judaism, when you tear your clothes and Elisha tore his garment, that's a sign of death. You're mourning. He was in mourning because his master had died. So he wasn't just raptured. He died and he was seen. His spirit was seen going up. Okay. Now maybe the body was taken up too. It was a miracle. Whatever it was a miracle. But he died. He was gone. Okay. And Elisha, the mantle of the prophet came down, and Elisha took the mantle and he smote the Jordan River, and the river parted in two. And all the sons of the prophets knew, and everybody knew, that Elisha was the new prophet in town. Amen? Everybody knew who the new prophet was. The guy with the anointing. Okay. So I want to just share with you my own, just a little testimony, and then I'll first, you know, but let me just say, we can also stir up the gifts by prayer. Sometimes God stirs it up for us. Like when Saul prophesied, he was anointed that day. Remember? Saul got anointed, and he went walking down the road, and all of a sudden he met these guys, and the Spirit of God came on him, and he prophesied. And remember when Moses was in the tabernacle with the 70 elders, but two guys, Eldad and Medad, didn't show up, but they all prophesied. If you ever read that in the Torah, 70 elders went into the tabernacle with Moses, and they went in, but two guys didn't show up, but God gave them the spirit of prophecy. The spirit came on them too, and they prophesied. Check it out, Eldad and Medad. You have to check it out right now. But, you know, and they weren't, and somebody got mad because it said they didn't go in, they weren't with Moses. Why should they be prophesying? It's not for us to decide, right? Hallelujah. So sometimes God will just lay it on you. Everybody say, God lays it on you. But sometimes he doesn't. So you have to really desire God's favor in your life, his power. Have you given yourself to seeking him? If you don't know what your gifts are, have you given yourself to seeking him diligently? Do you love the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind and strength? Have you ever gone away to be alone with God for a few days? Have you ever gone off away from your family, men or women? Have you ever gone to a retreat or a conference where, you know, God, I've been to places where God's dealt with me tremendously, certain conferences. You got to do it. Have you ever done a 2-week fast? Have you ever done a 2-week fast and prayed? Not just fast, but have you ever done a 2-week fast and prayed to God for certain things? For the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for your family. Pray for your gifts. Pray for direction in your life. Pray for God's plans in your life. Pray for sick friends. Pray for your congregation. Pray for your family. Amen? I've gone up on a mountain and fasted. I've fasted for 2 weeks. I've fasted on more than one occasion for 2 weeks. I've fasted. I've gone up on a mountain with 3 other rabbis and fasted for 4 days up on a mountain in Moravian Falls and prayed mostly. We prayed for a lot of things. We prayed for Bristol. We took this territory for God on that mountain in Moravian Falls. If you can't fast totally, have some soup at night, have some broth, have some whatever, you know, have a couple, you know, do a juice fast where you just, if your blood sugar, you know, have some juice, give up the food, just drink some juice a few times a day, you know, have some water, whatever, you know, but fasting is something you have to build it, you have to work, it's like conditioning, you condition yourself. But as a man sows, so shall he reap. If you want to have a deeper relationship with God, do what Moses did. He went up on the mountain for 40 days and he fasted. He had a real deep relationship with God. Amen? He went up for another 40 days and he fasted. And you know, that's how you do it. I've done it. Do you notice that Moses only had, he had 2 40-day fasts? And he only, if they didn't have the golden calf, he would have only had to have one? What's my point? My point is, some people have paid their dues, and some haven't. Some people have paid their dues. Moses paid his dues. He did his 40-day fast. Yeshua, you know what he did before he became, took his office as the Messiah? What did he do? Before his public ministry, he fasted and prayed for 40 days. Amen? Good preaching, Rabbi. He fasted and prayed. Did he ever fast again for 40 days? No. He did what God required to get to the point spiritually where he had to be. He did the what God required, and God's requiring some of you and some of you watching to fast and pray because you don't know what your gifts are. You don't walk in your gifts, some folks. You don't know what they are, and it's because you haven't really sought the Lord. You haven't given your heart, and we say the Shema, you know, Hear, O Israel, Lord our God, love the Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God. V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, you know, v'chol l'lavcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol me'odecha, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. That's what it means. Let me tell you about my story. I got saved, and a month later, a guy that I knew as an unbeliever shows up in my Messianic synagogue. I'm 2 months in the Lord, and this guy who I'd met in a sauna at the Jewish Community Center where I lived and asked me if I wanted to swing with him and his wife, if I wanted to swing with him and his wife, me and my girlfriend, and him and his wife wanted to go swing, you know. I won't say what that is if you don't know. Anyway, I was pretty grossed out. Looking at him, I was pretty grossed out too because he looked, it was not very pretty to look at in the sauna. And this guy just really, I just never wanted to see this guy again. You know, it was, and I wasn't a believer. Later on, like a year later, I became a believer, and I'm in the Messianic synagogue where I lived, and guess who shows up? Mr. Swinger. Okay? And I can't get away from him. I can't get away from him. He keeps, you know, hi, how are you? You know, he's talking to me, and he's around me, and I'm like, I'm trying to get away, avoid him, and everywhere I go to hide, he shows up. And I'm like, God, why take, you know, get this guy away from me? And he wouldn't. And in fact, God even gave me, get this, some kind of love, not a sexual love, but a holy spiritual love for this guy. Like, God was asking me to minister to him. This guy who asked me to go swinging with him and his wife, you know, who I wanted nothing to do with, wished he wasn't in the congregation I was attending, really wished he'd go somewhere else, and God's telling me to minister. So I arranged to have breakfast with him, and I'm sitting there in a restaurant, me and him, and we're talking, and I'm not sure if he knows the Lord or not, but this demon, I don't know, I was a brand new believer. I was 2 months, 2.5, 3 months in the Lord, maybe 3 months in the Lord, And somehow a demon manifested, and I cast the demon out. I'm sitting there at the breakfast table in this restaurant, and I cast out a demon in this guy. And then, and it really affected him. I mean, he was really changed. And it scared the out of me. I mean, it's like, whoa, what did I just do? You know, I'd never done that before, cast out a demon. I was a new believer, 3 months in the Lord, and I'm casting out a demon. I ran out of that restaurant after I finished, and I called these people that were ministering, this ministry, and I got the secretary. I said, pray for me. I just cast out a demon. And she's like, she's in New York. She's like, what? Get lost. You know, get a life. She'd never seen a demon before in her life. If it hit her in the face, because she was, you know, not of a faith or belief that, you know, any that deals with spiritual things on that matter. There's a lot of churches that don't, you know, they don't understand that the demons are real and they do need to be cast out. And they may be sitting in you know, in the people that you're sitting next to. But your people are some in some congregations or assemblies are so unspiritual they wouldn't even know it. Okay, so I started to realize very early on I had very great favor too. Within a month, the rabbi was asking me to teach. Within a month, the rabbi was asking me to teach Bible class when he couldn't make it. At the Messianic synagogue I went to. Not only that, I started out going to a church because that's where that's where I got brought as I was becoming a believer. I was brought to a big church of 1,500 people, 12 to 1,500 people. And the pastors, God gave me favor with the leaders, and they had me speak and share my testimony. I mean, I'm talking, I'm 2-3 weeks in the Lord, and I'm up there in front of 1,500 people giving my testimony, 2-3 weeks in the Lord. The pastor was standing next to me holding the microphone, you know, because I'd never done that before, and it was pretty scary, you know. But I knew somehow there was something powerful going on in my life, that God wasn't just, you know, there was more to the picture than just being saved for me, okay? I knew that. I could, you know, and I knew that there was a big calling on my life, and it was manifesting. And so I went on, and then, you know, I became this music group called the Liberated Wailing Wall. We sang their songs all the time. Trees of the Field, Great and Wonderful. We bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Psalm 103, that's the Liberated Wailing Wall. Avinu Malkeinu, maker of all things. That's the Liberated Wailing Wall. That group came to Boston, and I sacrificed the opportunity to go and see them because I went to New York to serve God and pass out gospel tracts and evangelize on my vacation. I gave up, and I just wanted somebody had handed me a CD of that group or a tape, and I just all I wanted was to go and hear them. If I said, if I could just hear this group, that's what I said to God. If I could just go and see them, but I gave it up to go to New York, gave up the chance to see them and hear them. And you know what? A year and a half later, I was leading that group on a world tour. A year and a half later, that group of six or seven people, which changes out every 2 years, I was asked to be the leader of the team. I trained in San Francisco with Don for 3 months to become a professional musician. We made a CD with the team before us, and I took them out on a $750,000 Prevost bus through 47 states, all across Canada, to Victoria, British Columbia. We went to England, South Africa, Australia, and Hawaii. And I led the group, and I gave up leadership for part of the time because I was a very young believer. I was only a year and a half in the Lord. This was a big responsibility. I was responsible for six people, a $750,000 bus, and making sure that we ministered 6 days a week and twice on Sunday. And we led more people to the Lord than there had been teams since 1973. Our team led the most people to the Lord of any team that had ever gone out. That's one statistic I'm very proud of. We also moved in the Spirit, which no other team did. Led hundreds, if not thousands, to the Lord all around the world. Yeshua said, "You'll do greater things than I." He never got to go all around the world and lead people to the Lord and preach. Done revivals around here where I've had 100 kids in one night come and get saved. Wendell's, did you see that? Did you see people get healed by the scores, 20s, 40s, 60s, 80s at that youth, those youth revivals, get filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in the Holy Spirit? If I died today, I know there's a treasure in heaven. My reward is there, but I'm not done yet. But the story gets better. So I come to Bristol, and a man named K.A. Paul comes to town. And he's an evangelist from India. And I finished my tour, and God sent me here. And so this... So Coach Bill McCartney, the head of Promise Keepers, and some big businessmen in town, and the Hunt brothers who tried to corner the silver market, they showed up, and some big businessmen here in Bristol who brought, they brought this guy, Dr. K.A. Paul, and Dr. Gary Smalley was there, and a bunch of other people, but Coach Bill McCartney, the head of Promise Keepers, which was probably the biggest ministry of the 1990s. And they're on stage at Freedom Hall, and they introduce this little Indian guy, short little Indian guy named Dr. K.A. Paul, and he was an evangelist, and everybody said, and they said, you probably have never heard of this guy, you've probably never seen him before in your life, but Coach McCartney, the leader of Promise Keepers, said, I'm not worthy to untie the straps on his sandals. What he basically said, I'm not worthy to untie this man's sandals. I didn't know who the guy was. So I met him there. There were 5,000 people. The place was packed. Freedom Hall, Johnson City. What did I do? I shook his hand when I met him. Okay. They were going to have a big crusade, celebration, whatever you want to call it. They were going to have it at Bristol Motor Speedway. They'd planned it for July, I think, and the meeting was in May, and it never happened. And so somebody called me around July or August and said, Dr. Paul, the evangelist, is in town, and there's a meeting. Would you like to go and meet and be part of the meeting and at Science Hill High School Auditorium, I said, no, this was just rich guys trying to buy a revival. That's what I thought it was. This was just a bunch of rich guys trying to buy a revival. And I said, no, I had plans. I did. I had plans that night. I said, I can't go to the meeting. And the crusade never took place. And I said, this is just phony stuff. But then my plans canceled for that night, that Thursday night. And somebody else called me and invited me to go hear this guy, Paul, Dr. K.A. Paul, speak. So I said, well, I had no excuse not to. So I said, okay, I guess I'll go. And this guy, Joe Gregory, gets up and he introduces Dr. Paul. And there's about 120 people in the auditorium, which seats about 700 at Science Hill, 500, whatever. And everybody must have been Baptist because they're all sitting in the back. So Dr. Paul, this little Indian guy, he says, I'm just being funny. Baptists have a tradition of sitting in the back. I love Baptists. Don't be offended, please. Anyway, so Dr. Paul says, everybody, he says, come forward, come to the front. He says, don't worry, I won't lay hands on you. And something rose up in me, and I shouted, lay hands. Because a week or so before that, my friend who said whoop glory, Sam Smith. And I got, you know, that my Hebrew scholar friend, Sam Smith, got you all to speak Hebrew and say, whoop, glory. Okay? He said to me, you know what he said to me? 27-year-old pastor, he said, Church of God of Prophecy, he said, Joe, he said, I want the mantle of a great man of God. I want the mantle of a great man of God. And I said, well, wow, that's an interesting thing. Elijah, I was teaching on Elijah and Elisha and how Elijah asked Elijah for the mantle of his master. And I thought, wow. He said, the great men of God are dying. You know, Oral Roberts, Kenneth Hagin, I mean, you know, different circles people follow are dying. Billy Graham, he thought, is getting ready to go. You know, some of the great men of God are starting to leave us. And he says, I want the mantle of a great man of God. And I'd never really thought of it. So Dr. K.A. Paul, who would have crusades in India and Nigeria with 1 to 3 million people, God said to me in that room that night with 120 people, I heard the Lord, I believe I heard the Lord say, people get funny when you say, I heard the Lord say. So I say, I believe I heard the Lord say, Joe, if you were in a crowd of 1 million people, what chance would you have of getting near that man and asking him for his mantle? 1 in 1 million, Lord? Yes, 1 in 1 million. If there were 2 million people in the room, in the audience, what chance would you have of getting near that evangelist and asking him for his mantle? 1 in 2 million, Lord? Yeah, just about that, Lord said. That's what I heard. He says, how many people are in this room tonight, Joe? About 120, Lord? Okay, when this meeting's over, I want you to go up to that man and ask him for his mantle. So when the meeting ended, people shook his hand, and I waited for a minute or two. And then he's standing on about this high off the ground like me, and I walked up to him, and I said, Dr. Paul, I'd met him once before, the first time he came, I just shook his hand like everybody else. But this time I said something different. I said, Dr. Paul, would you give me your mantle? Would you bless me and give me your mantle? And he knelt down, and he was higher up, and he knelt down, and he put his hand on my head. He called down the fire of God on me. And you know what? I felt it. It hit me. The fire of God came down on me. Whatever anointing that man had to bring him before 1 million to 2 to 3 million people. And that is an anointing. Before you go calling some preacher who speaks to crowds of 100,000 or 1 million people and a joke, You go out and speak to a crowd of 100,000 or 200,000 people or a million before you go calling them a joke. You go out and do it. Let's see you. I'd like to see it. Then come to me and tell me they're a joke. Okay? You don't get to go speak to a million people or 2 million people or even 100,000 or even 10,000 if you don't have a special anointing on you. That anointing brought me, within a matter of months, I spoke at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. with Ricky Skaggs on a panel with Ricky Skaggs, Dr. Paul, Governor Mike Huckabee from Arkansas, Dr. Evie Hill. And I spent the day, I'm very cognizant when I'm around people like that, I'm very cognizant of who God puts around me. And I happened to notice that Dr. Evie Hill, who's a very famous pastor, he's passed on now, but you can look him up, Dr. Evie Hill, was in Los Angeles, famous pastor. I needed more anointing as a pastor. I needed more juice, pastoral juice. I needed more love for the flock because I was an evangelist. So God said, ask Dr. Hill. There was a quiet time in the afternoon when everybody had gone in to meet with all the Republican governors, when Dr. Paul had gone in with Governor Huckabee to meet with the Republican governors who were meeting in the hotel across the street. And so I was sitting there with Dr. Hill, and I'd given him a book called Your People Shall Be My People by Don Finto. I think it's out there in the hallway. And he was reading it, and God said, ask him for his mantle. So I said, Dr. Hill, we'd had lunch together. We got to know each other. I said, would you give me your mantle? Would you bless me as a pastor and give me your pastoral mantle? And he said, yeah, I will. And so I got down on one knee, and he put his hand on my head, and he blessed me, and he anointed me with his mantle. Now, I don't just go up to every... I was with Ricky Skaggs that day. I didn't ask Ricky Skaggs, would you give me your mantle as a mandolin player? I don't just go around to every man of God that I meet or every famous person that I come across and say, give me your mantle. If God tells me to, I will. Because I was with Gary Smalley that day, Mike Huckabee, Ricky Skaggs, Evie Hill, and many more. But it was Dr. Evie Hill that God said to go to. I have received some great anointings. And you know what? When I was at Grace Point 2 weeks ago, and I'll conclude, and the pastor asked me to pray for him, God said to me, I believe, give him a double portion. Oh, yeah. 18 years ago, the evangelist T.L. Lowry was at that church and pulled me out of the crowd of 250 people, pulled me out of the crowd and laid a double portion on me. Like I've never, I mean, in that same church. And that was the greatest, most powerful experience I've had since my salvation was when T.L. Lowry laid a double portion on me. Not on anyone else that night that I recall, just me. And when I was in the same church with a new pastor 2 weeks ago, and he asked me to pray for him, God said, give him a double portion. You know what he said to me? I've been asking God and fasting and praying for 2 weeks for a double portion. And Fred and Martha witnessed it. You were there, but you can watch it on video. I anointed him twice, and I called down a double portion. And then he was walking around. He said, I feel I've got glory, two handfuls of glory, he said. And he was walking around like this. He was almost in another place. It was like he wasn't in the room. He said, I feel like I have two handfuls of glory. Then God said, go up there and lay it on him. So I ran up from the front where I was standing, and I just went boosh. And he went down like a sack of potatoes. And the church went wild. Are you getting it? So you know what I did? I turned around. I felt the anointing's on. The anointing's God's moving here. The river's flowing. So I went out front, and I turned around. I grabbed the oil that he gave me, and I just stood there. And one woman came up to me, one Church of God female pastor, came up to me and she said, Brother Joe Bell, would you give me, and some people are going to know by my way I'm saying her voice, Brother Joe Bell, would you give me a double portion? I said, Sister so-and-so, I'll be glad to. And I anointed her twice, and I laid, and she went down like a sack of bricks. And I stood there waiting to give anybody that wanted. God was willing to give anybody that had the spiritual eyes to come and ask. Nobody did. Nobody came up to me. Now, I was standing there, and finally I just put the oil down, wiped my hands off, and went away. Went and sat down. Because nobody had the spiritual, you know, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Without repentance. Hallelujah. That's my message. So I'm going to come down. Is Dawn still here? Is she gone? Is she here? Is she teaching? Could somebody bring her up? Or I like some music. I'm going to pray for anybody that wants it. Whatever God lays on your heart, you know. I don't know. God told me to preach this message today, and I'm not, I didn't feel, I had a rough night last night. Issues, we had a lot of issues last night. Had a rough night, had a rough morning, had a rough night. Just not going to go into it. But didn't feel like it today. But God told me to preach this message. You know why? You know why I had a rough night? Because it's not about me. And he was just reminding me, it's not about you. It's about him. Now, he's given me a lot to give. And I offer it to whoever wants it. If he's telling you. So I'll anoint you if he's speaking to you to come. Don't just come because I'm saying it. Come because he's telling you. But I'll pray for you because I'm nothing special. But the gifts I have are because of what he's given me, and I offer them now. So come forward if you like. And you can put some music on if we don't have it. Thank you.